right, here we are. We're kicking it in the hub. Welcome to Pete's Playhouse, everyone. This is our first podcast we got going on, or talk show, or whatever you want to call it. And we're just going to bring you the best of what we got. And we're just chilling in the hub, just kicking back. And yeah, what's going on?
Well, the reason why we're starting this podcast is we pretty much got nothing left, and this is it. This is the shot at it.
This is it. We don't got money. We don't got anything. We got ourselves, and we're here to talk, to kick it, to have a good time, and that's what we're doing.
You know, just enjoy some kombucha and
yeah,
have a conversation.
Yeah. Now, what's kombucha? For those of out there that don't know exactly what kombucha is.
Kombucha is a fermented tea beverage.
What's fermented tea? Kombucha is a really difficult thing to try to explain to people.
Why is it difficult to explain? Well, that's because we took our shot at the kombucha industry.
Yeah, we tried. We dove in.
We gave it our best shot. There's this guy called GT Dave who started making kombucha back in 95. And he sells it at many places, Whole Foods, Raley's in Bel Air.
Was it 95?
That's what the bottle says.
Let's pull up the GT Dave kombucha story.
GT Dave,
he is the Nike of kombucha. And kombucha is, like we said, a fermented tea. So fermented means you take sugar and you turn it into alcohol? What it is?
Well, it turns into alcohol and other acids and stuff.
Like sauerkraut. That is a fermented food. You cut up cabbage, you put some salt in it, not sugar, but the sugar in the cabbage turns into a acidic bacteria environment. That's like the process of fermentation, correct?
That's how much we've grokked the subject, guys, when we dove in.
That's what it is. So kombucha is a fermented tea. You make tea with sugar. You turn it into it. Okay, but anyways, we're going to get back to GT Dave. He is like,
if we had video, I wish you could see a picture of the guy, because he looks like a model.
He drinks
2.5 gallons of kombucha per day.
Yeah, so let's hear the kombucha story. Because he's like the founder of it. This is where it started.
All right, here it is. In 1995, my life came crashing down when I heard that my mother, Loreen, had just been diagnosed with a highly aggressive form of breast cancer. After a week of emotional turmoil, I was relieved to find out that her breast cancer had not spread and that the pungent, tasting, cultured tea that she had been drinking was part of the reason why. I was incredibly touched by how kombucha had helped my mom and was inspired to begin making it from the kitchen of my parents' house. Being only a teenager, I had no business plan, just a desire to share this gift with anyone who could benefit from it. So 95 is when his mom...
Yeah.
That's when he... I don't know if he started selling it at that point.
Yeah, and then he took off from there. And he's in every store. He's in Safeway.
And the reason why he's so dominant...
And we say he because it's called GT Dave Synergy Kombucha. That's why it's kind of weird. So he is actually a product. Sorry. Keep going.
Where was I? What was I saying?
I mean, he's in Safeway. He's in Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah. He's just completely dominant. No one even comes close to this guy in the kombucha business. And there's tons of others, like small ones. And our plan was to just start a really small kombucha company.
Yeah.
Hoping that was going to keep us afloat.
Yeah.
Little do we know, there are thousands of other people trying to do it. And not really trying to race.
Yeah. We don't think it's a good decision to get in that. It takes a lot of investment, and
the food industry is very fragile.
Yeah, very fragile. I mean, we've done a little exploring into the food industry. We've tried making coffee. Bulletproof coffee is what it's originally called. It's coffee mixed with a little bit of butter and this stuff called MCT oil, which is a some sort of form of coconut oil. It's like it's extracted. MCT is what is in coconut oil, and it's extracted from coconut oil. So anyways, it's a coffee with a lot of fat in it, and pretty much when you drink it, it has a really long sustained energy. So we dove down that route, didn't really like invest huge because we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we've gone in the kombucha game, and we've learned the food game is a very, very big grind. We haven't really dove in it too much, but from what we've heard.
Dipped our toes in the water. Didn't like it. So we're here now, and we're recording our first Pete's Playhouse podcast episode.
And Pete's Playhouse is, it's kind of a spinoff off of Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse. We were trying to think of it today, and that's what it was called. One of our favorite childhood cartoons back in the day.
Who now is in jail?
Pee Wee Herman? Let's look it up.
Let's see what's going on with Pee Wee.
I'm pretty sure he got caught in an adult movie theater whacking off.
Pee Wee. Let's get a little video of
him. He was a really goofy guy from what I remember.
Here's the top YouTube video of him.
Looks like it's from the movie.
On my way then. Excuse me.
So if you recognize that voice, I mean, I don't really care to watch much more of it, but.
But yeah, his name is Paul Rubens. You would recognize the guy if you grew up in the 90s. His name was Pee Wee Herman, and he had a show that was called Pee Wee's Playhouse. And yeah, I don't know. Not too interesting this stuff, but you go back and you look at it, and
he got caught masturbating in a theater, I think.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay. So
an adult movie theater.
And the reason why
an adult movie theater.
Yeah, and the reason why it's a big deal is because he was
a kid.
He was all about the guy Paul Rubens was all about. He created the show Pee Wee Herman, and he was all about like creating an environment for kids to play around. And
why do you think he kept his youth? He had to go to a movie theater or adult movie theaters all the time and jack off.
Yeah,
but I've never been. But isn't that pretty common? Wouldn't that be common?
To, like, whack off?
I mean, why else are they going there?
Yeah, are you not going to whack off?
Well, maybe they won't touch there.
Are there not laws on, like,
maybe they won't, they can't, like, put their hands in. They can't do it. They can't.
Okay, let's look up jacking off in adult movie theater laws. Like, right? Okay. First thing I type in, jacking off in adult movie theater laws. The very first thing that pops up on Google, guy, you're going to crack up. Paul Rubin's Wikipedia. Paul Rubin. Sarasota, Florida for masturbating during an adult film at an adult theater. The deal with porn theaters. Fred Willard, arrested for lewd conduct. He was also in it. Fred Willard arrested for lewd conduct in adult theater. So, okay, here we go. The deal with porn theaters. This may be the same thing. I don't know. I don't want to read all this. So laws are different here than in other shitty places like Florida. They're referring to Pee Wee Herman because he was arrested in Florida. There's a law against doing that. But in Oregon,
of course,
luckily laws are different here than in shitty places like Florida. There are no Pee Wee Hermans getting arrested at adult movie theaters in Portland because, like our swinger clubs and bathhouses, our porn theaters provide a temporary membership to a private club where the patrons are free to express themselves sexually in any way they choose as long as it's consensual.
So they can do whatever they want with them? So it's pretty much prostitution?
I guess, because it says they're temporary membership to a private club, so they're like paying.
So yeah, it's illegal prostitution.
Yeah.
If the girls are down.
Yeah. That's what it is. They're like,
is that in Oregon?
Yeah, in Portland, Oregon.
Aren't they one of the top
believe so.
Strip clubs? Did we read that when we went there?
Top cities for strip clubs. I mean, there's going to be probably a lot. 21, okay, Thrillist, Ask Men. Men's Fitness? Who are we?
Men's Fitness is giving a review on strip clubs.
10 best strip clubs in America. Top best cities with most strip clubs? I think that's what it is. Does Portland really have... Okay.
Well, if that's the first question, then...
Again, Google is very good at listening in to what we're talking about and can predict.
If you guys aren't aware, Google knows everything you're doing.
Like, the reason why Paul Rubens just popped up on my Google is because Mitch was just Googling Paul Rubens, and it probably picked it up.
Probably.
Via the IP address.
Via our Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Plus, we share an email account.
Yeah. Okay. I always hear that Portland has the most strip clubs of any city in the U.S., or at least the most per capita. Are there any... Are either of these claims even slightly true? They say Tampa, Florida is the strip bar capital of America.
Well, that's where he got caught in Florida.
Okay, so it turns out Portland with one strip club for every 9,578 residents. Wow.
That's a lot of strip clubs.
Is indeed the leader among
per capita.
50 largest U.S. cities, narrowly edging Tampa. Las Vegas has one per 33,000.
A lot of tourists, though. Who really knows who's there?
Right. Which is... But, I mean, it seems overwhelming.
Have you been to a strip club?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
How was it?
I mean, it's grimy. It's gross. I went it's called a quarter beers.
Oh.
In Oregon, mind you, of course. And on Monday nights, it's a little bit far away, but on Monday nights, people would go and they just bring a bunch of quarters, and it's quarter beers, and they're like 8 ounces or whatever, and the waitresses are running all over the place the whole night. Everyone's packed in there just getting quarter beers, and you just watch the girls dance and stuff like that.
It's gotta be grimy if that's the situation, though.
It's a huge college strip club atmosphere.
Girls college age
some of them were
any students.
Some were students,
really.
Yeah, I had a girl in one of my classes, and
no way.
I hadn't been, but my friend was like, hey, that girl's a stripper at whatever.
Could you imagine going to class? Your job is you're a stripper. So your students can... your teachers are probably going in there, right?
Yeah. I mean, if anyone, it would be the teachers. We had a high school teacher who... some of our friends, after graduating, they saw him at a strip club.
No, they'd see him...
Oh, regularly.
They'd see him on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And go to class on Friday and be like, hey, Mr. So-and-so. Yeah.
But that was okay because it's high school. So the chances of you seeing one of your students, and it was an all-guys.
All-guys high school.
So there's no chance.
Yeah.
He's dealing.
Unless it was a gay strip club and the student was gay. Then we may have some issues there.
Right. Which, who knows, somewhere in his life he could have gone off track and now he's at gay strip clubs and... That could be what happened.
Who knows? But anyways,
Portland is the number one city in strip clubs. And if you put it's because if it's crazy, they gave you the stat of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it was one per 30,000. So Portland, if I'm doing the math right, has three times more strip clubs than Vegas.
Wasn't it one per 500 for Portland?
It was one per 10,000.
In Portland?
For Portland.
Oh, okay.
And it was one per 30,000 in Vegas.
Okay, so yeah, three times.
So three times the major clubs are in Portland and Vegas. And you go to Vegas,
and
you would think everything.
That's weird, because we went to Portland, and it didn't appear that there were strip clubs all over the place.
No, it's just like classier, more small-time shop.
Yeah.
More artisan strip clubs. They really know how
how many people
flangle a ding-a-ling, if you know what I'm doing.
How many people are going to Portland? And that's like what they're doing there, but they're just not talking about it. Oh, what are you doing? Just visiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, just, I mean, how many people move there?
For that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you had a friend that moved to Eugene for the craft beer industry, there's people that moved to Portland for the stripper industry.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys that are just addicted to that.
Guys.
I've never been.
Guys.
I don't plan to either.
Move to Portland. Weed is legal there now, so that's probably a good place to kick it. Strippers, okay, one, they're way more than Vegas. What else? Micro beer.
Food carts.
And they're the food capital of the world. So if you just want to indulge in every type of thing ever and just be the biggest gluttonous person ever, go to Portland.
Oh, and it's really cold there. So you can kind of, it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be ripped or anything like that. Most of the guys there are like kind of bigger, so you don't have to compete much. You can like eat food, drink beer, pretty much be just a gluttonous slob.
Yeah, a good place.
And you don't have to be ashamed of it because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. We're just kidding, Portland. We love you guys.
It's a good city.
It's actually our favorite city. We're just messing around. But you guys do have awesome food, tons of strip clubs, weed is becoming legal, and what was the last thing we said? Oh, microbrews. You guys have really good beer. We're complimenting you completely. Yeah. Okay, we're complimenting you guys.
Saying you have the best of everything.
Yeah. So
keep it up.
I know you don't want tourists there. You kind of want to keep it to yourself. Oh, also, I forgot. No sales tax.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
There's no sales
tax. If you go to like 7-Eleven and you want an Arnold Palmer iced tea, the Arizona iced teas, you know how it says like 99 cents on the can? There's like a star. It says 99 cents. And when you go to any other state and it says 99 cents, and you give them 99 cents, they're holding out their hand asking for another like 10 cents.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
What?
Like if you were an alien and you were coming down from this earth and you're real thirsty, you had a long ride here from Mars, okay? You die of thirst before hunger. So he's just so thirsty.
You see a billboard, 99 cents.
99 cent iced teas. We got him here. You know what iced tea is. Maybe kombucha is what actually
the alien kombucha, which isn't realistic.
Well, no,
so expensive.
Kombucha is what the aliens drink because they're so advanced. That's what they're drinking is kombucha. But the closest that's on here they see is the tea.
Yeah,
they recognize the 99 cent. Are you with me? They recognize.
They see the kombucha as, or the 99 cent as the tea as kombucha.
It's like the one thing they recognize.
Yeah.
On this planet.
They already understand what tea is.
Because they live off kombucha pretty much.
Yeah.
That's just what
they're
saying.
They're so advanced.
We're throwing that scenario out there.
We're saying they live off kombucha because we drink a lot of kombucha, so.
And it's good stuff.
It's good. It's really good for you.
So aliens would probably drink it.
Yeah.
Sorry on the whole tangent, but that's where we're going. So that's why they recognize this. And they come. They see 99 cent. They know math. They know how much they have. And they give them a dollar. And the guy wants more money.
And they can't, they're so thirsty.
How do you explain that? Well, guess what, guys? That alien better land in Oregon.
Yeah.
Or else the world will not make sense.
No. He won't understand the tax system. You'd have to explain that to him.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And then, if that's explained, and I'm an alien, and I heard the tax system, I'd be out of here. If I heard, like, everything I made, 40% of it got taken, and then when I buy things, they take another 7%?
And they did more. the more you want, because like an alien would just want to like get as much stuff as possible while it's here.
Yeah.
So like it'd probably want a house, it'd want a car, and like, but each thing is like taxed more.
Yeah.
They get, that would make the government sense. Gets more yeah. money.
So aliens, Portland.
Yeah. Go there.
Go there.
Check it out.
Check it out, because there's no sales tax either. There's no sales tax there.
Also, they pump your gas for you in Oregon,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Which, if you're an alien and you rolled up in a car, like, the gas would run out, so you'd have to figure that out. And you just pull up, and it's all taken care of.
Well, there's no way you'd be able to figure out what to do
no.
as an alien.
No.
You'd have to go to Oregon.
Yeah.
You'd have to have that taken care of.
So, is it safe to say that if aliens land, they've scouted it out? That's where they would go.
Well, that's where all the mushrooms are growing too, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Which, there's been connections with psychedelic mushrooms and...
Well, they say mushrooms can survive through space because mm-hmm. it's a spore.
Mm-hmm.
And like that they're the first life form. And mm-hmm. that mushrooms, the psychedelic mushroom is what has kept life going because people have been able to ingest its wisdom
mm-hmm.
and that has kept the whatever you want to call the spirit of life going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's they're all in Oregon.
Yeah. So we're
that's
pretty
a
much
weak, that's a weak connection.
Yeah.
We're suggesting if you're an alien, you come here, go to Portland.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cool stuff to
it's
do
a good it's a good spot. Sacramento's not bad, but Sacramento is we're from Sacramento.
That's where we are right now.
Go Kings.
Yeah.
Even though they're not doing too hot right now. And Sacramento's, we think, kind of turning into it a little bit,
know?
Kings are getting an arena downtown.
Mm-hmm. A lot of new food places come in here. A lot of hype. And
shout out to Sacramento.
There's not much.
916.
There's not much going on right now here.
Yeah.
Besides this podcast.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah. It's a good place. It's a good place to be because it's really equidistant to every type of environment. For example, you're an hour away from pretty much everything. You can go to Tahoe within an hour and you can snowboard or hang out during the summer. It's really nice
yeah.
during the summer. We've had some friends who have tons of people in Sacramento have cabins in Tahoe. Yeah, tons of people have cabins in Tahoe and that live in the Sacramento area. And so it's really nice to go there. So you're an hour away from Tahoe. You're about an hour away from the beach. I think Bodega Bay might be the closest to here. So it's close to there. It's also the farm to fork capital of the U.S. or maybe of the world. It's one of the best places to grow crops.
Did you say farm to fork capital?
Farm to
fork probably referring to the United States.
Yeah, but in UC Davis, which is Davis is about 30, 40 minutes from here, they're starting like a world research center for food and agriculture. They're one of the top leading universities in agriculture. And wouldn't you say agriculture is pretty damn important, Mitch?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to learn how to farm and produce food for this. What are we at now? 7 billion people?
I think so. Our sister was saying it the other day at dinner. She was, let's look it
should
up.
Should we ask Google?
Yeah, let's ask Google.
Okay, Google. How many people are in the world?
The population of Earth was 7.125 billion in 2013.
2013.
Did I say 7 billion?
7 billion, yeah, I think so. Huh. So it's got to be bigger than that now. Why do they...
Okay, well,
They're giving you 2013.
Well, that's
or
probably...
Or 2015, Google.
Yeah.
Can we get 2015 stats? Mm-hmm. Or is that just the last time they did
world,
a census or something
hold
like
on,
that?
See. World population
they got to have, like, an updated... World population.
Retrieving data.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe
we're
like
getting live.
They're trying to get like live as if they know.
So it better be growing, right?
I mean, how do they even know? They're saying how many births and deaths there were.
Well, there's more than what it is, yeah. What do they say it's at?
7.29 billion.
Okay, so 7.29 billion people.
Do you want to guess the top
I'll give you...
I don't know what I'll give you, but can you guess the top five largest countries by population?
Five largest countries.
Yeah.
India.
Yeah, they're one of them.
Okay. Africa.
Well, that's a continent.
Continent. Okay. Countries. United States.
Yes.
These numbers are growing as I'm looking at it.
Okay.
Them.
Okay.
United... China.
Yes. Two more.
Russia.
Nope.
Mm.
That would...
That's a... No, that's
no,
not
that's
a
country. That's a country.
Other
number nine.
Okay. China. China, U.S. What else did I say?
India.
India. Australia.
No, that's a continent.
It's a continent.
You want me to just give them to you?
Let me guess a couple more. Let's see. Canada?
That's a con. Or that's... No. Never
no. That's yeah. a country.
No, that's definitely a country. But no, they are not.
South Korea?
No.
Okay. Give What are the two... What are the two...
I'll elements? Give you a hint.
Okay.
Anderson Silva.
Brazil.
Okay. The other one I couldn't give you a hint. Indonesia.
Indonesia. Yeah, I bet. That's a pretty poor country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to get a lot of agriculture going.
And we are in the capital here. There's tons of farmland out surrounding us.
Yeah.
And that's the whole Sacramento theme is they just push the farm to Fort Capital. All the restaurants around here, it's their marketing.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We love it because that's kind of how we eat is we try to eat from the earth as much as possible. So...
A lot of healthy foods popping up.
Yeah, and it's all about farm to fork. They say farm. I've heard farm to table.
Oh yeah.
We're in the. If you guys like coffee, Portland's good. But guess what? City's been pulling strong, and I would say leading the way now is Sacramento.
Zach, we've got a really big coffee scene.
Hot coffee scene. I swear, there's a new coffee shop that pops up every day in Sacramento.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And the food's kind of following suit. We've got, I don't know, there's a bright future here. So you should roll through.
So yeah, shout out to Portland and shout out to Sacramento.
Haven't been to many other places recently. Been to the Southern California area. But number one, they are relying on everyone else for water. There's no water down there.
They're getting their water from Northern California.
And they're building the desalination plants
mm-hmm.
where they pull out water from the ocean. So we're sucking the ocean. And then
they got these built up like right on the side.
Yeah.
Like, where are they? They're in San Diego, right?
Well, the first one's being built in San Diego right now.
It's
the first one in the
built,
U.S.
Is it functioning?
It's being built, I believe.
Okay, what's it called?
Desalinization plants. Like, I think salinize or whatever means salt.
Salinization plant.
Being built in Carlsbad.
Okay, let's see. Nation's largest ocean near... Okay, Carlsbad desalination... There's one there, okay, yeah. There's one in Carlsbad, California Ocean desalination plant.
So the first one in the world were being built in Israel, I believe, mm-hmm. and I think they're screwed when it comes to water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big desert over there, right?
Yeah. So San Diego, you're right. The one that they're building.
Okay, so they're building it right now. It's huge, huge, huge. I've got a friend who's an engineer on the project. That's mm-hmm. why I know about it. And what it does is this huge thing that's on the water, and it sucks up the ocean water and goes into some process of pulling the salt out of the water to turn into drinking water. And right now they're setting that up in Carlsbad so that they can give water to all of San Diego because we know they're not getting their water from Mexico.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to give San Diego water and see how that goes, and then they'll start building more of those plants. So that's how they're trying to get water in the future. And that's what SoCal's relying on. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to get my water from the ocean and then the salt pulled out of it through a machine. And then I drink it.
Not only do I want it, I don't want to drink that water, but I don't want to be in the vicinity of an area near the ocean that is getting salt sucked out of it. I mean, we could have an attack. We could have creatures start rebelling in the ocean and coming after us because we're fucking them. We're fucking the environment. Yeah. I mean, we've messed with the environment enough. We've fished a lot of fish out, but if we start taking the salt water out and that starts changing it, that could change the chemistry of their minds, their brains in there. What would that do?
I mean, it's messing with the salt level.
Yeah.
We're literally pulling out water.
Like we've
and had, giving them the salt back. Here, we don't want the salt ocean.
Yeah.
You can have it back.
Yeah.
And I asked my friend who's working on the project about this subject. So what do you guys do with the salt? Oh, we just put it back in. Does that do anything to the ocean water?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's got to be a question.
I don't know. Was the answer?
That has to be addressed.
But they've never cared about like the ocean. You know, they'll do whatever they want to it. Because we're not. Because we don't live in the ocean.
Yeah.
We're on land, we don't really care about what's going on in the water. We put oil out there. What's worse? The oil that we're spilling out there or dumping some salt in that they've already got? I would say probably the salt's worse.
So are they putting salt back in it? Or are they just...
Yeah. So I think that's what he said they're doing. They like pull out the ocean water and the leftover salt. I mean, can we just put that in salt grinders and give it to people to use on their food?
Yeah, why not?
Why would we put it back in the water? That would make any sense. I'd want that salt. Yeah. I took the salt. I don't want the water, but I'll take the salt.
Yeah. Maybe there's more damage happening in getting after salt. I don't know. I mean, it's probably easy to get salt. It's not easy to put.
How do we get salt right now? What is salt?
It's like a mineral.
I know it's a mineral, but where do we get it?
I don't know. Let me address the desalination. Here's our whole article on the impact of what it can do to the earth. Due to its high cost, energy intensiveness, and overall... mind you, this is a biased article by Scientific American, so of course they're going to be hating on it. Most environmental advocates view desalination, the conversion of salty ocean water into fresh water, as a last resort for providing fresh water to needy populations. So it's a last resort. They're much viable to the economic environmental reasons in most situations.
So that means they're in an emergency situation down there.
Global warming has increased because of it. I'd have to read this whole article. Of course, the supplies of fresh water dwindle the economic cost of desalination, especially in coastal areas with easy access to ocean water, begins to look competitive with traditional water sourcing. There are about 300 desalination plants in the United States.
Really?
With 120 in Florida and less than 40 in each in Texas and California.
So don't go to Florida.
So here are the states that need water. Or maybe they're on the coast, so they're getting it, but they're probably... So Florida... Okay, so Florida has the most strip clubs, too. Or they have... They're considered the strip club capital.
They're number two beyond Portland, right?
Full circle. So Florida, that's somewhere that... I don't know. If you want to go there... They don't have water, but they got strip clubs.
Yeah.
So...
If you're going there, you're probably just drinking.
Yeah, if you like alcohol,
because
that's a good place to get all the imports from other countries.
Portland has water, so you can actually get hydrated there.
Good water. I went to college in Oregon.
Yeah.
So
you could get good water and go to the strip club.
Yeah.
You don't even have to drink.
120 in Florida. 120.
Are they using them? I guess.
Yeah, I guess. What does it say? Beyond the links to climate problems, marine biologists warn that widespread desalinization could take a heavy toll on ocean biodiversity. No shit. That's all. So they don't really... Yeah.
They don't know.
They don't really know. They say climate change...
So they throw the ocean, the salt back in?
I don't know.
That's got to be the number one question. What do you do with the salt?
What do they do with salt from desalination? What happens to excess salt produced by desalination?
Boom. What is it?
Question on abc.net. The salt is usually a waste product from desalination. It is possible to make salt products, such as Epsom salt, from the brine.
Yeah. Huh.
But because the market for these products is small and the price is cheap, bring on the Epsom salt.
Yeah.
People need Epsom salt.
Yeah, they need to be taking baths in Epsom salts.
It is usually not economic to make products from the brine. When seawater is desalinated...
Economic? We're just swiping it from the ocean. Why do we care about... It's free.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got to make money.
But they're going to be dumping the salt regardless. If they're not selling it, then they're dumping it. So how is it? What's the economics behind it? I would say...
It's expensive to pull it out. But like if they're,
but they're pulling it out.
Because when seawater is desalinated, the brine is returned to the sea. So if they're going to put it back in the sea, it's actually more economical.
It's less work. They can just dump it in rather than like package it.
Mm-hmm.
But can they just... sell it to someone who then they package it? Sure there's people that want salt.
Well, that's what they would do, right? They wouldn't package it.
No, they would
just sell tons of salt. This means that desalinization process can operate with lower recoveries. You're not recovering all of the water, but some of the water, leaving you with fresh water and brine rather than water and salt. And so you use less energy per meters cubed for the water produced. So they just put it back in the water.
And they don't know what it's going to do. I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to kill a bunch of things right there.
The mixing functions in the ocean are such that it does not harm marine life unless there's no mixing at the release point, and that is avoided. So they can supposedly put it in.
Yeah, right.
But this is the... Okay, and you know who that's a quote from?
The government.
The Water for a Healthy Country director. So he's working with water. I mean, it's pretty legit.
Okay.
They seem pretty science-y.
Do you think they actually know that that's not harming anything? Because my guess
everything is very general.
My guess is that adding more salt to the ocean would operated a saltwater tank? You have to have the right salt levels. You can't have, like, too much.
Yeah.
And if we keep doing it, if we've got 120 in Florida... And they're just building them in California. Dude, we're dumping so much salt. We're just sucking the water.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But
they got to put water back in it, too.
They put water back in the ocean? No, that's what they're drinking.
But we're taking it out.
We're pulling all the water out.
Yeah.
And then
We're drinking it. So do you have to put water back in? Like, we're displacing the water. We're drinking the water.
Yeah.
Like, we're drinking
it's going in us.
Yeah.
And so the salt's going back in the ocean.
So you have to put the water back, too, right? If you take water and salt out, you got to put water and salt back in.
Yeah, but they're just putting salt back in.
So we got to put water back in, too, somehow, right? Or are they just saying the rain's going to take care of it?
I don't know.
Because they did say it affects the environment. That was the biggest issue that they said.
Well, because they know. I mean, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It's going to affect the environment.
Yeah.
My guess is that it's going to kill some things.
Yeah.
Their justification is that nothing, like, really large is on the shallow waters where they're doing the desalinization. Anything that people care about, dolphins, sharks, whales, they're in the deep waters.
Yeah.
So they're going to stay alive, hopefully.
And, you know, this is scary. This is scary stuff because the first article that we read said it's a last resort measure. Last resort. And then the next thing we looked up were how many desalinization plants there are in the United States. And there's 120 in Florida. There is like and then there was like 40 in California and like more in Texas. They said it's a last resort. We have a lot. We're in a last resort situation.
Don't
guys.
Go to Florida. Go to Florida.
Did you put those two together, guys? Desalination plants are a last resort, and we have about 200 of them operating in the United States. We're on a last resort situation. Pretty scary shit, huh?
So, we're not going to SoCal, not going to Florida. Pretty chill up here in NorCal.
NorCal, you're about 8-hour drive to Oregon.
How's Vegas doing? Because aren't they getting their water from Colorado?
I don't know.
I mean,
where does it?
I mean, because they're powering their electricity from the Hoover Dam. I know that. That's it. They're running off an extension.
I think Vegas is pretty efficient and pretty good at what they're doing though, because they know that's like what.
But have you?
They're doing.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
The lights don't stop. It's the brightest city ever.
But
try going there. Try going there and getting a good night's sleep.
The reason why I say that is because supposedly we have to reinstall all of like this plumbing systems and stuff throughout all of America. Like when we initially set them up, it was back in like the 30s or something like that, or 40, and now they're like going bad.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all the plumbing in America. And Vegas is one of the cities that's on top of it. Because they're just like, they know they're fucked.
Yeah.
Kind of there.
They've been set up in the middle of a desert.
That's how it was set up, was like on an extension plug. Yeah. But like Florida, Southern California.
Abundance by the ocean.
They were originally planning to be on an extension cord.
No.
But now they're kind of like reaching for it versus like Vegas was set up for that.
How chill is Colorado? In the middle.
Oh.
When everything starts like sinking and going bad, like.
Okay.
Nothing's hitting them.
You're right. Nearly 97% of the water flowing into Lake Mead comes from the Colorado River.
Yeah.
Into Vegas.
Yeah.
The remaining 3% of the water in Lake Mead is from the muddy and virgin water rivers in the Las Vegas Wash.
Ugh.
That sounds bad. The Las Vegas
Wash. I don't want to drink the Vegas Wash.
Yeah. So,
I could never live in Vegas. I could never live in Vegas.
But that's pretty good. At least all their water is from
one source? Do you want that? You don't want one source. What if they lose that source?
Yeah.
Then they're done. But like, who really, they just peace. If you live in Vegas, you're kind of a free-loathing person, right?
Yeah.
You're down that you're living in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So you're down to bounce to another city. It's not a big deal. You're not setting up wife and kids and if you live in Vegas, really. I mean, you don't intend to.
I mean, it looks pretty crummy. I don't know. I mean, there's probably some suburban areas.
Yeah, I mean, there are. But how did you get there? How did you get to Vegas?
The only way, normal way, would be like you had to go there.
Is there
for a job or something like that?
Okay.
Zappos is there.
Okay,
you
Zappos
can move your family there. But why are you attracted to Vegas?
Yeah.
Is my question. Because you could be somewhere else. There's something about
you'd still,
there's
like,
a pull.
Because like I wouldn't go. Like I would not take a job in Vegas. I just wouldn't. I couldn't live in that city.
There's just some pull there. Like if you're going there, there's something. It's called Sin City for a reason.
Yeah,
okay.
You're kind of down. You have the intentions to like go out. You're not gonna like move to Vegas and stay inside all the time.
Like if you're have a family. And you tell your wife, hey, I got this new opportunity in Vegas. Really good, really nice neighborhood, making $300,000. And it was like 10 times your income, what it was like in Northern California, let's just say. The wife would be like, no. I'm not raising my family in Vegas. It was just like,
he's got like two daughters that are like 2 years, one's two, one's four, and they're about to go move to Vegas.
And that, the minute that Vegas leaves his lips, what's going on? Yeah. Why? She's probably going to be suspicious from that point forward.
You live in Vegas and you have to tell people, I live in Vegas, and go through that whole routine every time.
But hey, I mean, if you're a bachelor in your 20s, that's a good place to be. Everyone rolls through. Everyone's trying to...
You're a bachelor in your 20s. Do you want to be there?
I'm not...
Trying to avoid the blue lights at night?
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid the blue lights. I'm not a gambler. Not too keen on strip clubs. What else they got there? I had tons of entertainment. That'd be kind of cool. They got you lots of UFC.
Yeah.
Go to UFC. All the fights. You could just... You could go to UFC. They got Zappos. You can kick it there.
Just go hang out at the office.
And we keep mentioning Zappos, guys. It's a shoe company. Zappos. We'll start off with shoe. Zappos.com. Shout out to Zappos. Great company. Incredible customer service. We read a book that was written by the CEO of there and just loved the culture he set up. It's a lot of fun. If you're looking for a fun place to go work, check out Zappos. It's pretty sweet. And it's in Vegas.
So if that's what you want to...
If that's your bad.
If you like to gamble and drink and do whatever...
I thought about it.
I'd work at Zappos and...
They have there's this great video. It's done by like ABC Nightline or something like that. And it shows kind of their office culture. And you go in there and they have like... balloons everywhere. They're like, durr, durr, durr. They're like blowing these things.
It's like a preschool.
Yeah, it's like a preschool. They have like sailboat competitions in the office. Tons of parties. Just phenomenal place.
The company's motto is delivering happiness,
and that they do.
So Tony Heisch, the CEO, wants his employees to be really happy. And the coolest part is they got free. Or is it free shipping? I guess if you become a VIP member.
Which,
I called them to order some shoes, and if you're just like nice to them, the company hooks it up so much.
Well, you needed it the next day.
Okay, so we were going fishing. We were going fishing in Lake Tahoe, and I needed some boots the next day. So I called Zappos, and I said, hey, I need some...
And we've read about this situation in the book before where, like, they hook it up fat. So we knew, like, it would work.
We knew they were totally open and honest and the best company trying to deliver happiness. So I need the shoes the next day. I said, hey, I'm going fishing tomorrow. I need some boots. Can you get it out to me? Ooh, let me see what I can do. And, of course, not only can they deliver the shoes the next day, but they can upgrade me to a VIP member of their services. So now anytime I order anything from the company, I get free overnight delivery. And they accept returns. Like, it's not a big deal
at
all.
That's like their business model.
Yeah.
It's like how they set it up.
It's like free returns. So
because like that was the problem with the internet shopping.
Right.
Was like you never could return anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they kind of like built it on was the fact that you could return everything whenever you wanted, and they would take it back and give you a refund or give you a new size. But anyways, so you got the boot, you got VIP, they upgraded you.
Upgraded VIP.
They're a good company. If you want to order like clothes, I mean,
just say you're a girl and you want to go to prom, but you don't want to get out of bed, you can sit there and order 10 dresses from Zappos.
Yes.
Try them all on and send 9 of them back for free.
They'll send you a box to send.
Oh, yeah, make it the easiest process ever.
And the return label and everything.
And you keep one and you send back 9.
Yeah.
And that's kind of their whole point. So they're not that big right now.
Well, they got bought out by Amazon.
Right, of course. The most dominant business in the world.
So they're technically it's Amazon. If you're gonna go through Zappos. So if you don't like Amazon, if you think they're a huge giant and you're not really a big fan of them, well, of course Zappos is underneath them. But we love Zappos, the company. So that's why we're promoting.
They're still being operated like on their own in Vegas. They're not under Amazon's wing, working in their headquarters or anything like that. They're still like doing their own thing. Amazon bought them, so they own them.
Yeah.
So you are supporting Amazon.
Right.
If you believe in the concept that your dollar is voting, you are kind of voting for Team Amazon.
Right.
If you buy from Zappos. So just right. keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind.
But Amazon's a good company.
Yeah.
I don't think they're too bad.
No.
I just think that they're pretty dominant and they're just so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. I mean, the criticism of Amazon is that they didn't have to pay taxes for the first like 10 or 15 years mm-hmm. of their company. So
early head start. They had a huge advantage over all these other companies that had to pay taxes. They got like a 10 to 15 year head start building their company, and now no one can even compete with their prices because they have such a huge distribution center and all that. They pretty much like, how can you even come close?
I mean, everyone's just like, Amazon's becoming just like store.
Yeah.
Like you're just gonna, in the future, like you're just gonna say like Amazon.
Yeah.
Just like Google is just gonna be like internet. Like internet's not gonna exist. It's just gonna be like Google.
I'm gonna Amazon it.
I'm gonna go to the Amazon, like go to the store. Because like any product you look up, it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, it's Prime and you're like us and you have your mom's account, so you can just log in.
Oh yeah.
And under hers, ship it to your address, free, 2 days on your doorstep.
Yeah. It's a great.
And now they deliver on Sundays.
Yeah.
Amazon is so dominant. People are ordering so many packages that the US Postal Service is forced to deliver, to work on Sundays and deliver packages.
And they have FedEx, and they have UPS, and they have OnTrack. All these companies are delivering for Amazon. Literally all of them. It's given them all business to do it. And there's new companies, new delivery companies popping up every day delivering for Amazon. They're huge.
They're store. Amazon store.
And here's a good tip, guys. A lot of stores now will match prices. They'll match internet prices. They'll even lose money to get you in their store because there's probably a good chance that you're going to buy something else or you'll come back. Mm-hmm. So they know they'll take a loss. A lot of places, if you ask, they'll match your...
Best Buy.
Yeah. We're in Best Buy. And we got our heart rate monitor, which I could talk about that for days, but I'm not going to go there right now. We got a heart rate monitor and they match prices. Best Buy does. And we looked it up on Amazon, and as if it's on Prime and Amazon ships it, then they'll match the price, and boom, it worked. So that's why we love Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Fast shipping. And if you want it right away, you can probably find a store around that, will match their price. So you don't even have to wait for shipping. You could go anywhere.
But it's just so easy to just hop on and just click.
Yeah.
And then you forget about it. You don't have to drive to the store. What would you rather do? Would you rather... Okay, for example, the other day, we needed hemp seeds or hemp protein.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you rather order it online, just like get it out of the way, clear it out of your brain, or like have to drive to the store or write it down and like pick it up at the store the next time? Like something that you can get off Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to do that. Something more with food, I'd probably go get.
Hemp protein. It's like kind of between food.
Yeah.
It's a supplement.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's
online.
Amazon. That's where it comes in.
Because they are setting up their Fresh network as well.
Right.
So delivering groceries.
Right.
And it's going to be that easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be one click and, 2 hours instead of 2 days?
I mean, even packages. They're setting up all these hubs. They're setting up these Amazon lockers. I'm sure there's Amazon stores being set up locally that we don't even know of. They're going to get your stuff in a couple hours.
Do you think
that's a goal?
Are they going to just take over all these packaging? Like maybe just like they may buy out FedEx and like
maybe.
I mean,
why not?
Why not just
an Amazon?
Why not just deliver your own? Why are you even having someone do it for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's A to Z, right?
Yeah.
They're not A to Z. They're not finishing it right now.
Yeah, they're trying to get everyone.
They got to be delivering it as well.
Bezos is this, what is going on in his brain?
Jeff Bezos is the CEO of Amazon. If you haven't heard of him, He's like on a Steve Jobs level. Okay, that's how much stuff he's doing right now. Just like no one's heard of him yet.
They're
like,
all calling him a dick, but they called Steve Jobs a dick too.
Yeah, which he was a dick.
Yeah, but you gotta be a dick to like be at that level.
To get that kind of stuff done.
To demand what they're demanding of people.
And in Apple, when they were going and stuff like that, Steve Jobs was criticized the whole time about like environmental problems.
They fired him.
Yeah.
They fired the genius.
Yeah.
The what do we call him? The Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
Even like bigger.
Yeah.
What he has sparked with apps and businesses and companies. I mean music. Can we break down
everything
Jobs has done?
Okay. iTunes.
Okay, so that was
let's try to stick pretty like direct.
Okay, so that was when the music industry was crashing. Right. All the music was being stolen online.
On like LimeWire, Kazaa, all these programs that you could download and then you could get anything for free, any movies, everything. Records weren't worth anything.
So iTunes came along and created the top 10, top 100 lists and created like popularity and like competition.
And they started selling songs
individually.
Individual songs.
Rather than albums.
Because
albums is what you had to buy before.
Right. And it was so simple, so easy to use, so user-friendly.
And you could upload it on your what?
iPod.
Which he created to go along with his iTunes.
Which you needed. You needed like an MP3 player with the software to be able to like put the songs on.
Keeping it under the Apple umbrella.
Because there were MP3 players.
Other ones, yeah.
Before the
iPod. I had one, but they sucked.
And there wasn't like a program that you could actually download.
No, it was just like the drag and drop into a folder.
So you could steal music.
Easily.
That's what like encouraged it pretty much.
And he stopped it.
Yeah.
You had to buy it. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You could steal though, right?
Right.
You didn't have to.
I stole all my music. Okay, I didn't.
Did you have the first iPod? Was he like, could you do it then? Or did he make it difficult?
No, I mean,
totally chill.
I mean, since music's been free. Okay. You could always get it.
But his system encouraged you to buy music.
Right. It's like, hey, you know, here's a bunch of grocery stores around. You could go steal. I don't even know if that's a good example. But it pretty much was an outlet where you could like, because everyone was downloading like single songs at a time, not all of the albums. And it was just an outlet where you could go get it that was like legal.
Mm-hmm.
The only other way to get it was like physically go to the store, like online. There was nothing else.
So you didn't feel like you, because you're stealing if you're taking songs.
Yeah.
So you like, I guess that's where it came into play, right?
Yeah.
People who like didn't want to steal, but wanted to buy like an individual song.
Right.
He kind of created like top tens in a way and like competition, like, you wanted the number one. No, they had singles before
that. They had top songs.
But it made it so like artists could come out like with a single to like promote their album.
Yeah.
Like before the album came out.
And he had the preview part of it.
Yeah.
Where you could listen to the, like without buying
first,
it.
First like 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah. You could listen to the, I mean, you still can. I don't know what we're saying. You could, but.
Now it's like a minute. I think they give you more now.
Yeah. You can listen to, you can preview the song. And that makes you want to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, how many times did you, like, listen to a song and you're like, ooh, I kind of want to buy it. If you had an iTunes gift card, you'd for sure buy it.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so that's the hottest gift card, or that's the hottest present that a grandma gives their grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because they think it's, like, cool.
Yeah.
And iTunes.
This is pure speculation, but we're just
seeing a lot of circumstances where kids get Apple gift cards from their grandmothers.
Okay, so Steve Jobs, music industry
saved it completely.
Okay, he developed Pixar.
Developed? I mean, he was the CEO of it. Did he create it?
But Pixar is like
Steve Jobs. Pixar.
How would you describe Pixar? It's just like a different type of. It's like a.
And it's like kind of live cartoon animation in a way.
So he ran a company that developed it, and it was a completely new genre of movies and pretty much movies. Maybe they have TV shows. And so that was another thing, was the, I'm blanking on it.
Okay.
Pixar.
I wasn't really listening to you. I was reading his wiki, but he worked for Lucasfilm, which George Lucas. Yeah. And he was the executive producer of Toy Story, if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, Toy Story. There you go. That's what Pixar is, guys. Toy Story.
And they did, like, I think, like, WALL-E.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. All
like,
those.
They're, like, cartoony, like, kind of, but they're, like, kind of live.
Yeah.
Disney owns them. Pixar.
Now.
Yeah.
Not before.
Oh, and when Disney bought Pixar, Jobs became Walt Disney's largest shareholder.
Oh, of course.
With approximately 7% of Disney's stock.
Okay.
Okay. So while when they fired him from Apple, he went over to Pixar and did that. He didn't rest. The guy didn't chill when he left or when he got fired from the company he started. He kept going. He also innovated can we say he created the smartphone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The iPhone. I mean, there were phones that were like had the touchscreen, but nothing competed with the hype behind the iPhone.
Nothing. Nothing that was, again, had an application
store
that you could buy from. He had a software tied to the tangible. That was like the sauce. That's what he kind of did.
And nothing came close to the iPhone.
Nothing.
For like phones on the market.
Nothing.
I mean, now they've caught up, but the guy's been dead for a while now.
So apps. He created apps, pretty much.
Yeah. And how many companies? How many app companies out there?
Oh.
Instagram, Snapchat.
I mean, Snapchat is valued at $10 billion.
Can we say, not Facebook. They could have done it on a PC.
Yeah. Well, PC. Personal computer.
Personal computer. He developed Apple, the personal computer, the original.
That was like his first thing he pretty much did.
Yeah.
Was like the personal computer, right? That was like the first thing he pretty much attacked.
Did he fail?
On a small
mistake.
Yeah.
Nothing large.
Maybe something he thought was going to be bigger, developed, or something like that, and then ended up not really coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought the TV, or maybe he thought the computer was going to be something else, and it just happened to go off on this tangent. So, yeah. So, he developed, five things we just said? Five different?
iTunes. Do we count the software, too? I mean, the guy's developing software and hardware.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what made it.
Let's just keep talking about what he developed rather than trying to number him.
Yeah.
I mean, is that it?
It's so fascinating. Who cares how many things it was?
He didn't stop. And if he would have saved lives, he would have just kept producing.
I mean, what we're doing right now, podcasting. Free radio. Free talk.
Radio.
He completely changed the game. He gave an outlet on his iTunes app store where people could upload any audio they wanted on there. And now the whole industry.
So wiping out the radio, the talk radio. Right. I wouldn't say wiping it out, because all those guys in that industry, they can just hop on to podcasts and do their thing there.
Right.
It's just...
He's created like a new slice in everything.
Yeah.
Like the phone, he made the smartphone. The
computer.
Computer, he made the personal computer rather than this thing you went to the library to go use or the computer lab at the university.
The Walkman turned into the iPod.
Yeah. He pretty much like created new... He upgraded every technology.
He was onto the TV next. I'm sure. I mean, they have Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I've heard is great.
Yeah. There was like rumors that like on his deathbed, there was like drawings and stuff the TV, and like he had this vision and that's what they wanted out of him and he wouldn't tell it. Something like that.
I don't know. A lot of speculation on Jobs' life. The guy was probably pretty secretive.
Yeah.
And they blew a lot out of proportion.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a guy. We tribute this podcast to him. And he's the reason why we're here today, why we're using the box to record this thing, and why we're posting it online. We can thank Mr. Jobs. Yeah. And with that said, we're going to close this thing out. And we hope you had a good time listening to the podcast, and we'll be back with more soon, guys. So hang in tight and hang on the line, and we'll be back with you guys soon. All right. Slater. Hey, brother.